Good morning.
Good morning.
What a joy and an honor to worship with you this morning. It's always a privilege to return to this house of worship. I want you to know that when I develop messages, they're always from my heart. I see who I am, and I want you to know I am a flawed human. I think humanity is flawed. Would you agree with that? We are not perfect. Look around our nation and our world today. There are many flaws. And we're searching for some truth. And we're searching, don't you hear this all the time? For peace. And so, brothers and sisters, I pray for peace for this congregation today. And for our message today, I pray that God would bless and open our hearts to hear and understand. You see, you are before God today. You're worshiping Him. We're not worshiping man. We're not worshiping our position. We're worshiping a holy God today. And what an honor and privilege it is to serve Him in this place. Familiar passage, Philippians 4:4-9. So how do we live this life that we are being called to participate in? Is there a difference, of course my contention is yes, between joy and happiness? How do we live this daily life as a joyous Christian? Do you feel joyous every day? I don't, to be honest with you. But there's a difference between joy and happiness. Paul gives us three principles in this writing today. And by the way, if you remember this passage was on your marquee, your sign out here, for some period of time. You remember? Be anxious over nothing, pray for everything. That was on your marquee. So, first, Paul informs us in this Philippian passages that we have a choice. Yes, my contention is that joy is a choice. And I'm going to have to define joy for you. We're not just victims of circumstances. If we believe God, and I do, I stand before you today to say, I believe God. Then here's our guide. Not fate, not some kind of uncontrollable force. God is our guide. Paul says that we can be joyful in the Lord. In other words, the source of this joy comes from God. There's a huge difference between happiness and joy. I'm currently reading a book. I do read books on occasion. This is even an academic book. I am reading a book called Position and Condition. It's a commentary on Ephesians. Position and Condition. One day I'm going to bring you a series of sermons on this book in this new commentary. Joy and happiness relates to position and conditions of our lives and soul. Because position, this book predicates, your position is in Christ. Your condition is we're human. And we're subject to real things around about us. Position in Christ, condition, we're human. Would you agree that you're human? Oh, I hope so. I'm feeling very human today. So you're human. Happiness is not dependent on those things that we have around about us, except circumstances and happenings do make us very dependent on our happiness, on what we have and do. When we watch a comedy or attend a party, we went to family last night and played a wonderful little game out there that made us just laugh. That was happiness. The circumstances, it was family. We laughed with and at each other. That was circumstance. That was our condition. Circumstances can bring this time of happiness around us. However, joy, the Bible informs us, is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. True joy is a gift from God. A true gift from God to have joy. And joy is that which is deep within you. If we accept Him not only as Savior, but also as Lord, then we can expect this joy has the possibility of permeating our lives. Remember, joy is assurance in God no matter what the human circumstances are. And we need that today. We need to have some assurance of joy in our lives. The Holy Spirit dwells in us and gives us this joy. Joy comes from God who lives within us and not from long-term that which happens without us. Remember now, Paul is in prison and he writes this letter after having been in prison for 4 years. Doubt if there's a lot of joy in prisons during that time. But his theme during this time is joy in your lives. If we understand his predicament, his circumstances, then he is obviously and understandably not happy. But with this, we understand that Paul is in prison and his future uncertain, yet he says to us today, rejoice and have joy. Now, if I spend 4 years in prison, I guarantee you I'm not going to be sitting there saying, boy, this is great. Have joy. I would have none of that. Have any of you all ever been into a prison? I haven't been locked up, but I've been inside a prison. In fact, I was in one in the middle of the jungle in Brazil. Most horrible looking prison you could imagine, with hundreds of men in one room that wouldn't be the size of these pews right here, all day long, 24 hours a day. I wouldn't feel much joy in that, would you? In the heat of the jungle? My goodness. So, joy is not just an emotion, folks. It's a choice. It's an attitude that you can have toward life. Now, I'm not standing up here pure. I struggle myself. I'm being honest with you. Joy. We've been talking, Linda and I have been talking about this. It's a struggle to feel joy sometimes in a life with all circumstances that are upon you. When you give, however, you're going to receive something back. If you are seeking joy, then we need to learn how to give joy first. When I have a lack of joy in my life, I have to make a decision, and the decision about what I'm going to pass on for others. There doesn't seem to be much joy in our nation today. Don't you hate the news? I know some family members won't even turn the news on television. Because it is nothing but bad. And it does not bring joy into many lives. Early in my teaching career, I worked with a lot of different faculty members. There was one faculty member who would always come in with a frown or scowl on his face. I mean, just terrible. Students hated him too, by the way. But he came in just terribly. Looked very awful. Without fail, never a smile. So, a departmental administrative assistant once told me, and would always say when he left work, that man must have lived his life bathing in lemon juice. He was so sour looking. And so I listened to that. All of us can probably recall a person like this that we've encountered in our lives. Well, I made it my goal. You know me, I get real stubborn. I made it my goal to one day see him smile. And I would be very gracious and maybe even overjoyed every time he would come into the office. And so when he came in, I always gave him a big smile no matter what he was doing. Probably irritated him at first. But every time, kind of gave me pleasure too, by the way. So he would come into the office and just frown away. But I would smile, ask how he was doing, what's happening that day. And I also began to watch him change just a little bit. And I found that sharing this joy not just changed him, but made the remainder of my day better. Because my smile became genuine. I really wanted to share that with him. Well, it's not too many weeks later. He came in to me and he shared that he always felt good after he came into the office and was disappointed when I wasn't around. And then he smiled at me. You see, you were giving something. He recognized that, and he also recognized it was not fake. I really, really meant for him to feel some joy in his life. So throughout my teaching career, still teaching I am, I would regularly ask myself privately, have you exceeded everyone's expectations? That's hard. Have you treated everyone fairly? I have not. Have you? Come on, are you being honest? Have you treated everyone fairly? No, I wouldn't think so. Have you brought joy to someone? I have tried. I did not always succeed, but I tried to make myself aware. I tried to be in contact with my emotions, how I felt, even having bad days. If you try to bring joy to someone, I guarantee you it can change your day. Paul did not seem to look at himself and his predicament. He was always looking to God, trusting him, God, to lead him and to provide for him. Now you can look, and this is the old adage, at a half-filled cup and thank God that you have some water to drink. Or you can look at a half-filled cup and lament that it's only half full. You see, that's your choice. You can always choose to think about your weaknesses. I'm human. I am so weak. I can choose to concentrate upon those. And about what you do not have, or you can rejoice and fill with joy in life what you do have. And I look at this church, folks. You have something. You have the potential of something. You can have the potential of joy in your lives. So don't see just the thorn. And by the way, rose bushes have thorns, right? They're beautiful, and at the same time, they have those thorns that hurt you. We have some ugly rose bushes outside our house. I just don't like them. They're those knockout roses, you know? You can't kill them. And heaven knows I've tried. They are so bad. And when Linda sees me going out there with clippers, she just, oh, don't do that. Because I just cut those things back, and all they do is grow back again. But some of the flowers on those are beautiful. But boy, you get your hand in there to get a weed out or something. Wow. You see the difference? It's got beauty, but also it has the real part of it. It's protection, thorns, as a matter of fact. Listen to what the prophet Habakkuk says in Habakkuk 3, it's Old Testament stuff, 17 through 19. Though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vines. Though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there's no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will still rejoice in the Lord. The words will and saying I will reveal that Habakkuk's belief was that he could choose his response either to sink into despair or rejoice in the Lord's presence and power in his life. His decision to rejoice wasn't a denial of hardship or sorrow. We will all have times of sorrow and grief. And I want to share with you, we've had a tragedy in our neighborhood of beyond belief. This is about a week and a half ago, maybe two. Linda and I were sitting in our chair watching television, and also all of these red lights out in front of our house. I mean, just lit up the whole neighborhood. We came outside, of course, because I thought maybe something was happening to our house and somebody called. But they were rushing into our next door neighbor. Our next door neighbor, Pete and Michelle, have two children, Joey and Jaden. And the firemen and the emergency technicians came running out with the little girl, Jaden, she's 10, in her arms, limp as a rag doll, lifeless. They put her into the ambulance, did not wait any time at all, shut the door, turned their lights on, their sirens on, in this neighborhood, normally don't in neighborhoods, and rushed out. We learned that she passed away the next morning. She was 10. Very difficult. Beyond belief, healthy girl, out playing soccer, had been playing soccer that week, was on the soccer team. Beautiful little girl, full of life, and within a short time, had passed away. And they're still not sure. It may have been something called Addison's disease. They're not sure. Healthy little girl. Well, the family was devastated. The neighborhood was devastated. We were devastated. What do you say to a family like this? And we watched them, and they came over a day or two later and spent an hour sitting there with us crying and talking, because it's unbelievable what they're feeling. And the reason I mention this now is we went to the funeral. They were a Catholic family. We went to the funeral yesterday. I was absolutely amazed at the priest. You know, they have a set liturgy for funerals. Very set. He did such a powerfully magnificent job of making it personal. Walking down into the congregation, talking directly to the family, and telling them exactly what I believe theologically. And that this family, with all of their struggles, have come forward and said, we can't make it through this without our faith. And that was a testimony to all of us around about them. Their pain is real. It's unimaginable. You know that. But still, their faith, they said, would get them through this. And that's what I heard the priests say, that you can do all the best planning and you can do all of these things, and then life comes at you like this. And there are no cliches, no easy things to say. Nothing you could really say could soothe the hurting heart. You see, what comes from within you either gets you through it or places you in despair. This family is going to get through it. Yes, there is pain. There's even pain for Linda and I. We can barely stand it. But they're going to get through it. Do you understand the difference then between position in Christ and condition of humanity? Their position in Christ is solid. Condition in humanity hurts. It's real. That's the difference between joy and happiness. You see, they have joy in the Lord because they had these 10 years with this beautiful little girl. So our attitude towards life is important. We can trust God even in hardships. The choice to rejoice is ours. Now, are they rejoicing? No. But their understanding, their strength comes from within because the Holy Spirit's within them, this fine family. To refuse to choose is a choice itself. And we let the circumstances overwhelm us sometimes, don't we? And rob us of our joy. Fanny Crosby, lady, wrote over 8,000 hymns, Blessed Assurance, Praise Him, to God be the glory. She lost her sight when she was only 6 weeks old. She lived into her 90s, composing thousands of hymns that you all are familiar with. On her 92nd birthday, she cheerfully said, if in all the world you can find a happier or more joyous person than I am, bring him to me. I'd like to shake his hand. And here she was blind, but her whole life was one of joy because she used a gift within her. So number one, joy is a choice. And joy is that which comes within you. It's not just the ha-ha moment. It's that which is within you. Secondly, you're blessed. I want you to understand truly how blessed I believe that you are. And I am. Do you know I'm blessed by being here? You're healing me today from the pain of our neighbors and what can be overwhelming. I feel blessed being here with you all today. You woke up today with more health than illness, then you are more blessed than tens of thousands of the people who will not survive this week. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pains of starvation, then you're ahead of 20 million people around the world right now. If you attend this church service without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you're more blessed than almost 3 billion people in the world. If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, then you're richer than 75% of the world. If you can read, you're more blessed than over 2 billion people in the world. So, my brothers and sisters, you're blessed. You're so very blessed. We take away way too many things for granted, don't we? My refrigerator's full. Has what I wanted. How about yours? A large portion of the world doesn't have that. You want to see the cities in Syria? They don't even have buildings anymore in some of those cities where millions still have to live. So you and I are blessed in many ways that we can never fully comprehend on this side of eternity. God wants you to have joy. So joy is a choice. You are blessed, I guarantee you. And finally, Paul tells us that we must commit ourselves to prayer. Now, I just almost hate saying that because it becomes so mundane. Do you know that prayer is an act of worship? We look at it in so many different ways of just saying routine prayers. Prayer is an act of worship. It's a personal time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, saith the Lord. If your yoke is heavy and if your burdens are weighing you down, then you have the wrong yoke around your neck. You need to release the burdens and cast them to the Lord. Only when you can entrust your worries to God can you experience true peace, spiritual peace, His peace. Don't you want peace in your life above all things? That joy and contentment of peace. Now, there's nothing wrong with having concerns. We all have our concerns, don't you? I have my concerns. It's when your concerns tend to own you, when they burden you down, that's when the spiritual death cycle could begin. When your concerns own you. That is, they move from concerns and become worries, and worries that impact your very being. You think about them all the time, and you're under their bondage. Sometimes, I'm a detailed person, and I get so worried about all these little details that they have to be in order. And I get all consumed, and I can't even realize things are going on around about me, but I'm so caught up in it. Don't you do that sometimes? The worries tend to overwhelm you just a little bit. And they become more than concerns and they impact who you are. That's just what we do with the Lord sometimes. We're carrying a burden the Lord never intended us to carry alone. But we're hard-headed. That's for me. I wrote that in there. I'm hard-headed. And I'm very insistent on getting it done. That's me. And I worry when I don't think I am. I had to make a video. Welcome video for my students online. I teach online for Liberty. Oh, this would be a 2-minute video. What? Linda and I worried about that almost an entire day. I mean, we did it 15 times and they were all horrible. I look how old I see on the movie. I hate that. I look so old. I don't look like that. But I kept looking at that old guy on the screen. And oh my God. So we did it 15 times and it didn't change. I still looked old. It was wrong. Thank you. Yeah, no. It was just right. It was just projecting the wrong guy up there. So I worried about that. And then by the time the day came at the end, guess what? We were exhausted. And we just threw away a day worrying about something trivial like that. So I posted it, uploaded it, and went back. Didn't care by that point, it was too late. So, when we have a question about school, who do we go to? We ask a teacher. When we're sick and helpless, we go to a physician to talk to him about healing us. When there's a legal problem we can't solve, we give it to a lawyer. When we face life difficulties, when we have burdens, we need to learn to really pray and trust God. We don't sometimes. Don't we try to do it on our own, solve the problems? Oh God, I will pray about it, but I got to do it myself. That's our approach. Paul tells us very clearly, as best we can, give your worries, concerns today over to Him. He's there. He wants to take those. Prayer is actually an expression of our faith in God and His promises in Scripture, and an expression that states that we really trust Him and His Word. That's what prayer is. I remember a wall plaque that read, "Why pray when you can worry?" You see, I liked that. It was one of my colleagues' office. Why pray when you can worry? That tells us exactly what we're like. Corrie ten Boom said these things. You remember her? She was in a concentration camp in World War II. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. Tomorrow's still coming. But it empties today of its strength. Worry empties your day today. This song I just love. I want you all to sing it sometime. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I always thought those words were powerful and true. We're called to fix our affection on things above and not on things of this earth. What we must feed our minds is God's truth. Paul instructs us, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Think on those things. Whatever is truth and noble and right and pure. A native Christian elder described life struggle with a young man, talking to this young man about his own personal life struggles with this truth. He said, it feels like there are two dogs fighting with inside of me. Always, this is Native American said this. It feels like there's two dogs fighting inside of me. The young man asked, which dog wins? The person answered, whichever one I feed. Yeah. You got the worry, you got the joy. Which one do you feed? Because that's going on. So when I'm worried, I'm feeding that dog. He gets stronger. So are you feeding life struggles? Are you feeding your concerns and feeding your concerns and turning them into worries and burdens? Are you choosing to look at that which is noble and of truth? Give them all to the Father. He will turn your sorrows into joy. I look at you today and I say that you are blessed and you're called to be a blessing. I tell you today that the Lord's yoke is easy. If you're carrying something heavy, give it to him. He'll carry it with you. Doesn't mean it's going to go away, but don't you like it to know that there's someone there to help you carry that burden that you're carrying today? If you do so, your life can turn to joy. You all bring joy into my life. I see a smiling lady right there. Yes. Brings joy. You see? That's what it's about. You feel the burden? Give it over to someone to help you carry it. Think on things that are noble and good and right. It's a much better life when we can do it. Let's pray together. Father, help me to yield all of who I am, all of me, my body, my soul, my spirit, to your transforming love. Break me when I need to be broken, and strengthen me when I need strength. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the great I am. Father, as your child, I need to choose your ways. Help me to lay my burdens down, and this day, choose joy. Father, we pray for each one in this house. I know that everyone in here has something we're carrying, concerns. Help us to give these to you. And I pray for my friends and our neighbors, the Wingers, at the loss of little Jake. It breaks our hearts. Their hearts are broken. But there's some joy in their lives because they know that you will get them through this. Father, we have so many things in our lives we can give to you because our condition of our lives is that we're human. The position of our lives is that we have you. Help us to realize that can lift so much off our hearts. In thy son's name, amen.